Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 4th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us another day to continue our study of your word. We're grateful for all that we have learned. And today we continue our study asking that you would continue to change us according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we have reached the 31st chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The water made him great, the deep set him up on high, with her rivers running round about his plants, and set out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field. And his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches. Nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height. I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness, and strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off, and have left him upon the mountains, and in all the valleys his branches are fallen, and his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land. And all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow, and have left him. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in height, all that drink water. For they are all delivered unto death, to the nether parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the deep for him, and I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water, shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Notice that chapter 31 describes the greatness of Egypt and the greatness of Pharaoh, and ultimately describes what God is going to allow to happen, the punishment that will be poured out upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh. We often allow the blessings of God instead of embracing them and with humility thanking God for all that he does for us. We often think that we have done this for ourselves until we sometimes get to the place where we no longer recognize from whom all our blessings flow. In the book, Prophets and Kings, on page 349 and paragraph 1, in chapter 30, which is entitled Deliverance from Assyria, it says this: in a time of grave national peril, when the hosts of Assyria were invading the land of Judah, and it seemed as if nothing could save Jerusalem from utter destruction, Hezekiah rallied the forces of his realm to resist with unfailing courage their heathen oppressors and to trust in the power of Jehovah to deliver. Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, Hezekiah exhorted the men of Judah. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. That we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. It was not without reason that Hezekiah could speak with certainty of the outcome. The boastful Assyrian, while used by God for a season as the rod of his anger for the punishment of the nations, was not always to prevail. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 5 says, "Be not afraid of the Assyrian," had been the message of the Lord through Isaiah some years before to those that dwelt in Zion. "For yet a little while, and the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up with the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." In another prophetic message given in the year of King Ahaz, the prophet had declared, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountain tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" The power of the oppressor was to be broken. Yet Hezekiah, in the earlier years of his reign, had continued to pay tribute to Assyria, in harmony with the agreement entered into by Ahaz. Meanwhile, the king had taken counsel with his princes and his mighty men, and had done everything possible for the defense of his kingdom. He had made sure of a bountiful supply of water within the walls of Jerusalem, while without the city there should be no scarcity. Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the walls that were broken, and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance, and he set captains of war over the people. Nothing had been left undone that could be done in preparation for a siege. At the time of Hezekiah's ascension to the throne of Judah, the Assyrians had already carried captive a large number of the children of Israel from the northern kingdom. And a few years after he had begun to reign, and while he was still strengthening the defenses of Jerusalem, the Assyrians besieged and captured Samaria and scattered the 10 tribes among the many provinces of the Assyrian realm. The borders of Judah were only a few miles distant, with Jerusalem less than 50 miles away, and the rich spoils to be found within the temple would tempt the enemy to return. But the king of Judah had determined to do his part in preparing to resist the enemy, and having accomplished all that human ingenuity and energy could do, he had assembled his forces and had exhorted them to be of good courage. "Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee," had been the message of the prophet Isaiah to Judah. And the king with unwavering faith now declared, "With us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Isaiah 12 verses 6 and 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 8. Nothing more quickly inspires faith than the exercise of faith. The king of Judah had prepared for the coming storm, and now confident that the prophecy against the Assyrians would be fulfilled, he stayed his soul upon God, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. What though the armies of Assyria, fresh from the conquest of the greatest nations of earth and triumphant over Samaria in Israel, should now turn their forces against Judah? What though they should boast, "As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols?" Judah had nothing to fear, for their trust was in Jehovah. The long-expected crisis finally came. The forces of Assyria, advancing from triumph to triumph, appeared in Judea. Confident of victory, the leaders divided their forces into two armies, one of which was to meet the Egyptian army to the southward, while the other was to besiege Jerusalem. Judah's only hope was now in God. All possible help from Egypt had been cut off, and no other nation was near to lend a friendly hand. The Assyrian officers, sure of the strength of their disciplined forces, arranged for a conference with the chief men of Judah, during which they insolently demanded the surrender of the city. This demand was accompanied by blasphemous revilings against the God of the Hebrews. Because of the weakness and apostasy of Israel and Judah, the name of God was no longer feared among the nations, but had become a subject of continual reproach. "Speak ye now to Hezekiah," said Rabshakeh, one of Sennacherib's chief officers. "Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is there wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me?" The officers were conferring outside the gates of the city, but within the hearing of the sentries on the wall. And as the representatives of the Assyrian king loudly urged their proposals upon the chief men of Judah, they were requested to speak in the Syrian rather than the Jewish language, in order that those upon the wall might not have knowledge of the proceedings of the conference. Rabshakeh, scorning this suggestion, lifted his voice still higher and continued to speak in the Jewish language, and said, "Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hands of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" To these taunts, the children of Judah answered him not a word. The conference was at an end. The Jewish representatives returned to Hezekiah with their clothes rent and told him the words of Rabshakeh. The king, upon learning of the blasphemous challenge, rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. A messenger was dispatched to Isaiah to inform him of the outcome of the conference. "This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy," was the word the king sent. "It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. For this cause Hezekiah the king, the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. God answered the prayers of his servants. To Hezekiah was given the message for Hezekiah. To Isaiah was given the message for Hezekiah. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. The Assyrian representatives, after taking leave of the chief men of Judah, communicated direct with their king, who was with the division of his army, guarding the approach from Egypt. Upon hearing the report, Sennacherib wrote letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. The boastful threat was accompanied by the message, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria has done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezbah, and the children of Eden, which were in Thalalas? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arphad, and the king of the city of Seraphim, of Hena and Iva? When the king of Judah received the taunting letter, he took it into the temple and spread it before the Lord, and prayed with strong faith for help from heaven, that the nations of earth might know that the God of the Hebrews still lived and reigned. The honor of Jehovah was at stake. He alone could bring deliverance. Hezekiah's pleadings in behalf of Judah and of the honor of their supreme ruler were in harmony with the mind of God. Solomon, in his benediction at the dedication of the temple, had prayed the Lord to remain the cause of his, to maintain the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Especially was the Lord to show favor when, in times of war or of oppression by any army, the chief men of Israel should enter the house of prayer and plead for deliverance. I decided to take a look at Prophets and Kings again, and this whole description of the battle that was to ensue during the time of Hezekiah, and compare this with the warnings that God had given us in Ezekiel chapter 31 and what was supposed to come on Jerusalem, and how he was going to deal with places like Egypt. You and I need to understand that we live in a world where there is constant war, constant battle. There are constant challenges. But you and I need to make sure that we trust in God, that we trust in our Savior. He has promised, regardless of the confrontation that we encounter, He will always be our deliverer. Regardless, as at Ezekiel chapter 31 talks about the Assyrian challenge or any other challenge that these individuals in those days encountered, if they trusted in God, God would fight their battles. The same is the same for us. Any encounter that we must face, if we trust in God, God will fight our battles. We need to make sure that we have faith in Him, that we trust Him implicitly, that there is nothing that we will not hand over to Him and ask Him to take care of, regardless of how difficult the circumstances might appear. You and I today must trust, because the times that are coming upon us are serious. The word of the Lord has proclaimed in advance that there will be difficulties, that as those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus continue to walk with God, they will be challenged on every side. But you and I must understand that God has promised to fight our battles. Fear not, regardless of where the battle may be, in the church, in the family, in the marriage, on the workplace, if we place that challenge in God's hand, He will bring us through. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do. We thank you that we can trust you implicitly. We thank you that you have shown this ability time and time again. And today as we go forward, we ask for continued strength so that we might expand in faith and endurance, so that we might be winning in the battle eternally through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 4th, 2019.